Good evening. Glad to see everyone back on this beautiful Lord's Day. I'd like to welcome any guests as well that we have. When we look at fire is always a symbol of power. We know fire can warm, purify, light the way, and consume. In Scripture, fire is often connected with the presence, power, holiness, and judgment of God. We see when Moses saw the burning bush, it was fire that caught his attention. When God led Israel by night, he led them by pillar of fire. When Elijah stood on Mount Carmel, God answered by fire. We see in Leviticus chapter 6, God gives instruction concerning the altar of burnt offering. The command is repeated, the fire must not go out. The priest was responsible to keep the fire burning continually. Now, of course, we don't live under the old covenant any longer, but there's still a powerful lesson here for Christians today. And that lesson is God's people must keep the fire burning. And so, the first question, where did the fire come from? Well, the fire on the altar was not invented by man. In Leviticus chapter 9, verse 24, then fire came out from before Yahweh and consumed the burnt offering and the portions of fat on the altar. And all the people saw it and shouted and fell on their faces. One thing we noticed was that this was not common fire. It came from God. And so that made it holy. That made it significant. And something Israel was not free to treat casually. We see in places like Jeremiah 10, verse 23, I know, O Yahweh, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. And then Proverbs 14, 12 says, there is a way in which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. One thing that we notice in Scripture is that man doesn't decide how we are to worship God. Man doesn't create his own doctrine, his own words that are to be followed. And let me tell you, God doesn't accept either. God is very clear on how he is to be worshipped. And the words that he speaks, the commands that he gives, they are to do. They are to follow. And so that means no other doctrine is to be used. We see in places like Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Paul makes it very clear there to the Galatians, even if we or another angel bring another doctrine to you, let them be accursed. And then we see in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then Acts 2:42, we see the beginnings of the church. And we see here, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Now, the apostles' doctrine, we know, are the words of God. They were inspired men. They were chosen by God to make known the mysteries of the gospel. And so their words were the words of Christ. They followed the doctrine of Christ. And so it's very clear that this fire came from God. They were to keep it going daily. They were not to treat it like casually. It was not an invention of man. And so, what did it require? Well, this fire required daily attention. Every morning. In Leviticus, our main text here, chapter 6, verse 12. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not go out, but the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. And he shall lay out the burnt offering on it and offer up in smoke the fat portions of the peace offerings on it. That word daily is a very important word. We see it pop up a lot in the old and in the new. The priest would have to tend to this fire daily. Why? Because God commanded for them to do so. Do not let this fire go out. For us, faithfulness requires daily attention. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's not just a Wednesday thing. As we see in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, here's another place the word daily likes to show up. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And so what happens when we add wood to the fire? What would be our wood? Well, we add wood, tongue twister, when we study the word of God. In Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We add wood to that fire when we are in God's word daily, not just on Sundays or Wednesdays, but daily. We add wood to the fire and we pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Paul took prayer very seriously. If we notice about his letters, he's always praying for his brothers and sisters in Christ. He's always praying for the Lord's church. He took prayer seriously, not only him, but all the apostles and all the disciples. They added wood to the fire when they assembled together. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The early church, they didn't just gather on every first day of the week. They were together whenever they had the opportunity. They enjoyed the fellowship they had, because it is the one place where we can get the godly encouragement we need. You're not going to get it in the schools. You're not going to get it in the courtrooms. You're not going, sadly, you do get it. You don't get it in prisons. You don't get it anywhere. It's a sad reality. You get worldly encouragement, sure. But this is why worship is so important. This is why studying the Word of God is important. This is why prayer is so important. In Galatians 5:13, for you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. We add wood to the fire when we love. That is one of the main characteristics that a Christian needs to have, is that love. And I'm not talking about the world's definition of love. I'm talking the love for God and the love for neighbor. Once again, going back to the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the second's like it, love your neighbor as thyself. If we don't have that love, then we're not adding wood to the fire. James chapter 4, verse 7, be subject therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We add wood to the fire when we resist temptation, when we resist Satan and his advancements. It's so important that we do this not just once a week, but daily, that we are making sure that our life is lining up with the Word of God, with God's standard. And so, can it be neglected? Well, we know the fire could be neglected, and we know neglect is very dangerous. Once again, the priest could have chosen to neglect every morning and not put wood, not add wood to the fire. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? That salvation, first spoken by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard. And then you go on to the next chapter, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. See to it, brothers, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Notice it doesn't say reject in chapter 2, verse 3. It says neglect. You know, when we look at some people, maybe people in our past, I know when I was a teenager, we had a big teen group in Paytona, West Virginia, in the church there. And I'll tell you now, they had more zeal than I did. And I thought, man, these people will never fall away. Well, sadly, most of them have. Most of them have fallen back into the world, have become like the world. And it's sad when something like that happens. But what happens is over time, the fire is weakened. And don't think that you're exempt from this. Our fire can be weakened. Our fire can be put out. And it's not God doing it, and it's not Satan doing it. We're doing it. We're letting it go out. We're not attending to that fire daily. I've had people ask, what do I do? And I give them the simplest answer. Be in God's word every day. Make sure you're having a strong prayer life. Make sure that you're not missing the assembly. Make sure that you are putting on love, and make sure that you're resisting. If you're not doing any of these things, yes, you're going to be a mess spiritually. And you're going to find yourself knee-deep in sin, neck-deep in sin. And here's some reasons why it does become weak, or the fire goes out. The fire goes out because of worldliness. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Worldliness is a big enemy for the Christian. We know what is included in worldliness. Sin, and any type of sin. The world tells you, hey, it's okay. You may want to make sure with the Word of God it's okay. That's why it's so important that we always go back to the Word. God's Word points us in the right direction. The world says it's okay, maybe you need to test it. Actually, you do need to test it. Worldliness sinks people's faith fast and hard. The more our hearts are filled with the world, the less room there is for God. You know, I know some young men who start dating, and I always tell them, leave room for Jesus. People laugh about that, and I giggle sometimes, but it's the truth. We should always put Christ first in relationships, jobs, whatever it may be. He should always have the first spot. Sometimes the fire goes out because of discouragement. That happens a lot. Even for Christians, they get discouraged. It can do some damage. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. And it's hard to do. It's hard to fight off that discouragement. But once again, that's why we have brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage us. It's why we should be in the Word of God, to comfort us. You know, one thing that I have found is the Psalms are a wonderful place to go and read when I feel discouraged. It's soothing. Because David ran into many, many times when he felt discouraged. Look at Elijah. Elijah was so discouraged, so depressed, that he wanted to die. But God would come and comfort him, but tell him, get up. I still have work for you to do. And so discouragement can destroy the church. It can destroy a Christian. God's people must not quit. Now, that doesn't mean we can't get tired. Christ himself would at times have to go away to spend time with his Father. We see sometimes he would. He would fall asleep. He needed sleep. He needed food. He needed water. He was fully man when he was on this earth. But even Christ found himself in times of discouragement. In Matthew 15, verse 8, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We need to understand there are many who will honor God with their lips, but their actions speak otherwise. They try to fit in with the world and with God. It doesn't work. We know God doesn't simply want outward religion. He wants faithful obedience from a sincere heart. True disciples are not once a week, twice a week people. That's not what a true disciple is. True disciple is daily looking to serve God and to serve others. Once again, if you're not doing these things daily, yes, you're going to find discouragement. You're going to find yourself neck deep in sin, sinking to the bottom if you're not careful. And so what was it connected to? We know the fire was connected to sacrifice. In Leviticus, going back to Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12 here, and the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it, shall not go out. But the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and he shall lay out the burnt offering on it, and offer up and smoke the fat portions of the peace offerings on it. Under the old covenant, as we look at Leviticus, they were animals. And we know that these animals had to be without blemish before they were sacrificed. And we know that there were certain portions that went to the priest. And we know there were certain portions that were to God. And these commands had to be kept. But now, under the new covenant, we had the perfect sacrifice, Christ. Christ came and died for all of us, for our sins. And what a beautiful and wonderful thing that happened for us, even though we don't deserve it. In Hebrews 10:10, by this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Christ gave himself, sacrificed his own life fully for all of us. His sacrifice was complete, perfect, and final. So guess what he calls for us to do? Christ gave himself for us. We are called to give ourselves to him. And not just some of ourselves, all of ourselves to him. And that even includes giving, maybe, possibly even giving our life for him. We see that throughout the New Testament. There were men and women who died for Christ. They gave their life. But it's not always the physical death. Sacrifice could include time. We could sacrifice time that we could be spending with friends, going out, and spending time with God instead. You know, Sundays, of course, everybody who works throughout the week, man, Sundays are the last day off before they have to go back to work Monday. Are we going to sacrifice and be here with our families and to worship God? Or are we going to choose to stay home and watch a ball game or stay home and do our own thing? Or maybe that includes sacrificing your career for Christ. I've had people tell me, well, I can't talk about Christ because I'll lose my job. What's more important? Obviously, for them, it was their career. In Romans 12:1, therefore, I exhort you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, living, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. We are living sacrifices offered to God daily. Now, we are not dead animals placed on a physical altar. Of course not. But these very bodies that we do have, we are to glorify God in every way, through our conduct, speech, attitude, whatever it may be. Every bit of us should be a sacrifice. In Luke 14, verse 27, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Very clear language here. We go back to Luke 9:23. One is to deny themselves, to take up their cross daily and follow him. And then in 14:27, whoever does not carry his own cross cannot be my disciple. Have we sacrificed enough? Are we giving our all to Christ? And I'm not just talking about being here on Sundays and Wednesdays. That's important. There's more to be done outside the four walls. A true disciple is a daily student, not just on the days we assemble. Every single day. A faith without sacrifice is dead faith. And so how to keep it burning? How do we keep the fire burning? Well, we keep feeding on the Word of God. That's very important. The very book that we have before us will help us, guide us, direct us in how to live a righteous and holy life. Second, keep praying. Prayer is powerful. I think sometimes we forget how powerful prayer is. It's so important. Paul thought of it as very important because he'd always be praying. Peter, all the apostles, all the disciples, the early church, devoted themselves to prayer. Third, keep assembling. We can't quit assembling together as disciples, as Christians, as the family of God. We can't give up on assembling together. There's this big belief that I can have Jesus and not the church. That's not true. Where is that in Scripture? It's not. We must keep repenting. Repentance is a daily thing that we are called to do, because guess what? I don't know if anyone here has ever had a perfect day. I know I haven't. Repentance is a daily thing. Once again, we are daily changing our minds and our lives to fit God's standard, to live a righteous and holy life. Keep serving. That's something that I think we a lot of times fall short on, is serving one another. And not just serving one another, but going out into communities and serving. And that could include teaching the gospel. That could include helping people with physical needs. And I'm not, you know, once again, physical needs are important, but spiritual needs are the most important thing that we need to keep in mind. And then finally, keep looking to Christ. Once again, Peter, walking on the water towards Christ, didn't stay focused on Christ. What happened? He sunk. And that's what will happen to each and every one of us if we are not looking to Christ daily. And so, has your fire gone out? You know, one thing that I can tell and I've learned to tell is when a fire has gone out. You can look in their eyes and see it. You can look at their life and see it. And it's hard. It's sad. And you try to help them. You try to help them get that fire back up. But there are some people who just completely let it go out, and they get back into the world, and they give up. That's a very dangerous thing, because we're playing with our souls in that moment. Our souls are on the edge of being condemned for eternity. So if your fire has gone out this evening, I pray and hope that you decide to come forward and to reheat, rebuild that fire. Allow us as the church to assist you. Or if you're not a Christian and you really want to change, tonight's the night to do it, to give your life to Christ, to come and believe and to obey the gospel, being baptized for the remission of sins and walking in newness of life. But I promise you, that's the easy part. The hard part comes when we start walking that new journey with Christ. But good news for you, you have brothers and sisters here tonight who will help you keep that fire burning if you allow us to. So if you're here this evening, you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.